Hey there, and welcome to the Rock Reavers podcast. Here we're all about believing and proclaiming the word. We're totally given to true worship and obedient in taking the gospel to the nations through missions. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope that you'll be blessed by this message.
Amen. We give all the glory to Jesus and tell of his love. And tell of his love. We give all the glory. I'm looking for two people who give God all the glory. I'm still trying to find you. I don't know where you're at. Na Yesu apewe utukufu. Tangaza upendo. Tangaza upendo. Na Yesu apewe utukufu, tangaza upendo wake. Father, we give you all the glory, we give you all the praise. This is the day that you have made. You've commanded us to be glad in it. Father, we come before your presence today, not seeking what we can receive from you, but we come before you because of who you are in our lives. Father, we, even if we were to receive nothing else, we have received everything in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, you are a good God. And so be exalted in this place. Be lifted up in our hearts. Father, for those who've come in here with an expectation, may they receive that special touch from you, Lord. Not as unto man, but as unto the Lord. And so, Father, because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift a voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
Find a believer and Israelites next to you. Give them a high five and tell them, welcome to the presence of Yahweh. Find another one who looks like they need a hug today and give them a hug. You may be the only representation of Christ they meet today. And after that, you may sit on your enemies in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. I just want to start with getting all the protocols out of the way. I am excited to have been invited to the Rivers Church. I've been waiting for this day for over 2.5 years now. And finally, tell someone, finally, the Lord is good. Finally, you know, Daniel prayed. And for 21 days, his answer was held. But today, tell someone, the day of the Lord. Your day of the Lord is coming. Your day of the Lord is coming. I just want to celebrate my brother Stan and his lovely wife Anne. Santeni. If you guys don't celebrate these two, I will move them from the Rivers by God's grace. Help me celebrate Stan and his lovely wife Anne, your pastor. Asante sana for the invite. For Pastor Doc and your lovely wife, Carlo. Help me celebrate them one more time. These people are movers and shakers. Pastor Kev and Louise, oh my goodness. You guys are wonderful. Pastor Des, even in absentia. Yeah? Or is he around? He's not. And finally, last but not least, Pastor Joy and the future husband. In Jesus' name. Amen. Asanteni sana. It's now 11:50. Pastor Stan told me I have no more than 3 hours. And so the only guarantee I'll give you is that you'll be out of here by 4. Are we together? You guys, you're not looking very welcoming, but it's fine. Let's agree one thing. The first 5 minutes of me standing up here, you guys will be checking me out, all right? You'll be trying to figure out whether you like me or you don't like me. That is inconsequential, all right? Because I'm standing up here. I will also be trying to figure out whether I like you guys or not. But let's agree to one thing. Let it not cross 5 minutes. After that, listen to the word of God. Tuko pamoja. I've already spent 4 minutes introducing and welcoming the pastors and Sindio, are we together? Fantastic. We're talking about building a mind of Christ. I don't know where you're at, but I am here. And where I'm at, I am trying to build a mind of Christ. Now, I know the whole month, all the assemblies, we've been focusing on building a mind of Christ. And so today, I want to just recap a couple of things that we've been doing at the West. And by the way, the people from the West sent their greetings. And they said, Nikifika at the Rivers, the only church on a ranch that I tell them that we are still there, that they are still there at the West, and they are thinking fondly about you guys. Mume receive izo greetings. Mepokea. Asante. All right, so building a mind of Christ. One of the things that we learned quickly was that one of the things when we are asked in life, what are the things we want to get to? What are the things that we are hoping for? What are the things that we are aspiring for? If we went around this room, everyone would say some big things. Because this is the Rivers Church, I know we have doctors here. I know we have architects. I know we have some serious people, especially learned friends in this place. Because you guys are pretty smart. Judging by your pastors, I know you guys are all smart, right? One of the reasons that you've come into this space is because these guys speak to an intellectual part of your life. That's one of the things. Or just one. There are many, but just one, right? So how many doctors do we have in the room today? We have many doctors. Many. I know if you raised your hands, I might have to relocate some of you to West. I think we have one or two. No, we have a lot more. But when we ask, and when you go around and ask people, what is it that you would like from life? It's funny that the responses that we get. Many times you hear someone wants to buy a new car, a big car. Someone wants a brand new car, not a car someone has been sitting in, right? Sometimes people are also looking for a brand new house, and not just a two-bedroom house sitting somewhere. Guys are looking for a house. Think about the house that you would love if you had no limitation. What kind of a house would you build? That house. That's what many people come and say, I would love this. I would love this. If I could, I'd fly around the world. I'd be in Paris right now. In fact, on a Sunday like this, almost 12 noon, I'd be having lunch in New York. And the next plan would be that my breakfast, I will eat it in France. Right? There are people who are looking to travel the world. They are looking to do things. There are people even in this room who would say, man, I would only wear a designer. Louis Vuitton who has nothing on me. Think about the thing you would ask if you were given a blank check. What would that thing be? You know what is funny? We found out that very few people ask for happiness. Very few people are seeking happiness. Yet without happiness, none of these things would even matter. Happiness. And you ask yourself, happiness? I never even thought about happiness. Why? Because many times people think that things bring happiness to them. In fact, I'll take it to the next level. A lot of the single people I know, and I'm sure there are one or two in here, they think that happiness is tied to their spouse. There are people, thank you, Pastor Doc. There are people who think that your happiness will come from your spouse. I came to bring news to you. I am not coming as a prophet today. I'm giving you this word.
Not as a prophet. I want you to know this. Your spouse will never bring you happiness. Happiness is something that is innate. You must develop it yourself. If you're not happy, don't look for someone to make unhappy. If you're not happy yet, do not seek somebody else. In fact, you're not ready for marriage. You're not ready for marriage. Find a single person in the room right now and tell them you're not ready. I have been seeing how you're sulking every Sunday you come. Someone who was sitting on your seat, it becomes a domain. You're not ready. Someone told you today you're not looking very good. What is wrong? You're not ready. You are told you're not going to sing next week. You're not ready. You caught. You're not ready. Happiness comes from within. The only person who can bring you happiness is Christ. It's Christ. There is not a man in the world who can fix your unhappiness. Stop saying the reason you're unhappy is because you're single. No. Has nothing to do with that. That was not my message, but you guys have driven me into this. Sit down. Your mindset is everything. It shapes your world and your reality. So choose what? Wisely. Choose wisely. Mindset is everything. Your attitude is everything. Where you rise up, where you go to bed is your choice. How you choose to live your life is your choice. Choose wisely. Mindset can be defined as a habitual or characteristic mental attitude that determines how you will interpret and respond to situations. How do you respond when someone cuts you off in traffic? How do you respond when someone steps on your toe by accident? How do you respond? Some of us here at the Rivers, some of us here, if we heard some of the words that come out of your mouth, when things are thick, we may have to bring you before the pastors on Sunday and say, this one we need to exorcise. Oh, they're not here. Sorry. Some of those guys out there. Your outlook is so important. Mindset is a way of thinking. It's a mental attitude or inclination. The scripture says this in Philippians chapter 2, 5 to 8, and I'll read it in the message, and I'll try to do justice, but I'll go very fast because there are a couple of things I want to share. Think of yourself, says the scripture, the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, and he became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that. A crucifixion. And when we started to study this word, one of the things the Lord put in my heart was this. The only way, because we are called in scripture to emulate Christ, the only way we can emulate Christ is by studying his life. You cannot emulate Pastor Stan until you have to study his life. Figure out what causes Pastor Stan to be Pastor Stan. What causes Doc to be Doc? What causes Kev to be Kev? Figure out. If I'm going to be like Kev, I must study Kev. What he does. One of the things I can tell you Kev does, because I know this about him, he doesn't eat. If you want to be as small as Pastor Kev, you need to stop eating. Whatever it takes, fight with Louise, fight with your wife, but you need to stop eating. The other thing, eat the scripture. Eat the word of God. If you want to do or become like Pastor Kev. Is that his name? Kev Award? Oh, that's his word. That's his name. Kev Award. You have to be able to disciple people the way Kev disciples people. You've got to figure out, how can I become like him? The only way to do that is study Christ's life. We are supposed to be Christ-like. Being Christ-like means I have to emulate the things that Christ does. I have to study his life. And I must get into the vein of becoming like Christ. The only way you can study someone's life is by figuring out their character. Figure out their character. And the Lord laid on my heart one or two things that I want to share with you today. One is, we must become humble like Christ. That's why the scripture says he did not think of himself equal in status with God. When he was sent on that mission, he put aside what? All privileges. All privileges. Imagine Christ, the Son of the living God. Imagine, just imagine for a minute, if you are Christ, wouldn't everybody know you are Christ? Wouldn't everybody know I am the Son of the living God? You will put it on your Instagram feed, you will put it on your FB, Twitter, you will put it on TikTok, right? Yeah. And at the top there it will be Son of God, the Christ. Everyone will know, but not Jesus. Jesus took a posture of humility. He said, I have been sent on a mission, and my mission is greater than my position. My mission is greater than the title I have. And so he put aside everything that we as human beings. He made himself of what? No reputation. Of no reputation. Of no reputation. Because of time, I must move. The second thing is, Jesus was a servant leader. A servant leader. A servant leader. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and becoming and coming in the likeness of men. Imagine Christ, who is part of the Trinity, the Son of the living God, accepting to come in the body of a man. Packaged as a man. Imagine, with all the special privileges he had in heaven. That he can call down heaven at any one time. There will be a host of angels on the left and on the right. He accepted, based on the will of God, to be packaged into a human body. Full of its frailties. And to come into this earth because of you and I. A servant leader. He demonstrated what servant leadership is. And I was asking the guys at West a couple of weeks ago, if your house help saw you singing in the choir, will she pass out? Will she stop in her tracks and add volume to see? Kumbia. Will your people at your workplace be shocked the time your pastor calls you and says, praise the Lord, and then you say, amen, someone wakes up. Be like, who said amen in here? How do they know you? How do your colleagues know you? When it's time for sherehe, are you at the forefront? Then one day, out of conviction, they show up at church and they're like, Allah! He's even the Pasi! She sings in the worship team. That one. Will you keep people from giving their lives to Christ because of the way you lead your life? servant leadership says that I'm going to do good for the whole, for us collectively. It's not going to be about my priorities and the things that I care about. Part of the problem we have in Africa today is we have leaders who are thinking about themselves before they think about the whole. Servant leadership says, I care more about us, not I. Gideon is called. And part of what he asks is, what happened to us? The Lord who took care of us. The Lord who was with us. He was being called as an individual to step out, to stand in the gap for that generation at that time. Remember, he was found threshing wheat in a wine press, in the wrong place. He was a coward, is what the world would say. But then the Lord sees him and says, great man of valor. And he was thinking about us, not himself. They go into battle. They come back. And the older men in the city say, you know what, why can't you be our king? He didn't think about himself. He was thinking about us. Servant leadership says, step out from the crowd. Stop doing what everyone else is doing. Somebody told me this the other day. The truth is, if my brother got into office, I will also say, it is our turn to eat. I'm not talking about a non-believer. I'm talking about a believer. We can stand up here and castigate those who are in office until we get into office. Then the behavior remains the same. I can take a little here, I can take a little there. Let me build my empire. That dream for that big house, for buying a jet, for being in a place where I can, people can say, Mheshimiwa amefika. He has arrived. Third thing is he took up the likeness of men. He became all things to all men. He became all things to all men. One of the things that we must be very clear about is that we have to be very purpose focused. Purpose focused. The reason why he decided to come as a man is because he was given an assignment by God. What assignment has God given you? And what is the level of focus that you have? What is the thing that drives you to get to the place that you get to? What wakes you up every day? What is your purpose? I want to submit to you right now, someone who is hearing me under this sound. I want you to know your purpose is not to work for your boss. That place where you go to work every Monday morning, that's not your purpose. Figure out quickly what your purpose is. I know they give you a paycheck. Do you actually, okay, let me come to where you are at. You are in here and you're trusting God for a great salary. Mathematicians, are you in the house? You're in the house. What is a good salary? Talk to me. What is a good salary? What is a good salary? A seven-figure salary. How many would love to earn a seven-figure salary? In dollars. You can put whatever currency. It doesn't matter. Seven-figure. Yeah? You would love to. Yeah? You know, I know more hands would have gone up if Christ was standing here saying, who would like to earn 1,000,000 shillings every month? All these hands would go up. Right? Yeah. So let's talk about 1,000,000 shillings. Is that okay? Is that too far? You know, if it's too far. Okay, let's come to 500,000. 500,000. Huh? 1,000,000 is okay. Thank you. How many hours a week do you work? Sorry. How many hours a day do you work? Huh? 8. Remove your calculators if you have to. 8 hours a day. 8 or less. Most times it's less. But let's say 8 hours every day. Right? How many hours a week is that? 8 times 5 is 40. Right? How many hours a month is that? 160 hours every month. So can you help me by dividing a million by 160? Say it again. 6250. 6250. 6250. 6250. Let that sink in first. That your blood, sweat, and tears for an entire hour is 6,250 shillings. So do you think that's your purpose? Do you think that's why God put you here on this earth? To earn 6,000 bob every hour. And you're happy. Saying, I work for so and so. Divide that by another zero. And another zero. If you want to know how much 100K is. Per hour. Just position yourself in that whole scale. Even if you're at 10M. Just put your number there, right? I want everyone to... I came to offend your mind to reveal what's in your heart. I want you to arise and know that you have a greater purpose and a greater goal. One of the things I love is movies and movies that are have something to do with espionage. I love movies like Mission Impossible. I like movies like... What's that movie? Something about spy. Something. Black Hawk Down. Stuff like that. Where a mission is spelled out and an individual is supposed to go into a space and accomplish that mission. James Bond is one of those. Where he's always sent into places to do something impossible. But before he goes in, one of the things is he's given a rundown. You go into this place, it's going to be dangerous. By the way, you may even die. However, then they bring him into this room. And they say, these are the new gadgets that we have for this mission. They give him a brand new car that does some crazy things. It flies, it swims, it gets on a railway track. It does so many different things. Then it blows up things and, you know, he's given a little watch that you can press this if you want, you know, some crazy things. Then he goes into his mission. And many times, James Bond never dies. James Bond walks into that place. People, things are even worse than what he had been told. There's some mafia guys in there. Guys have Uzis, machine guns. And he was like, my goodness, I was never prepared for this. But yet he was given every tool to be able to help him accomplish his mission. I want you to know that Christ was mission-oriented. And in every one of us, he pre-wired a mission and sent you when you are ready. And he said, I've given you everything for life and for godliness, to be able to do the thing that I have put inside of you to do, that I have called you to do. Yes, you find yourself at that place under employment, doing that thing that you are employed to do. That is one, like a 16th of your mission here on earth. Like that would have nothing to do with what Christ commissioned you for. That he breathed a little bit of himself into you and said, go into this place and become. And he's waiting for you to arise. And he's wondering, I gave you every tool. But we keep coming back to him and saying, Father, will this be my year? And he's like, what's wrong with you, child? I've given you everything. Arise. Tell your neighbor, arise. Find another neighbor. I know you're feeling upset that I'm telling you this. Tell them to arise. Because the earth is waiting. Earnestly. For what? For the manifestation of the sons of God. You are the sons of God. The mission was given to you. You were given every gadget and every tool available from heaven's bounty and released onto the earth. And you're told, go and become. Go and do. Go and fulfill your mission. That's how Christ was. If you want to understand how Christ was, that's how he was. If you want to understand how to be more like Christ, be mission-oriented. Say, I am the James Bond of this generation, and go into that place and become everything you are called to become. Finally, Christ had something called deadly obedience. Deadly obedience. And I'll spend a little time here before we close. Deadly obedience. The scripture says this. It says, and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Even the death of the cross. Isn't it funny that scripture had to reiterate that he was obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross? Because the death of the cross was not an ordinary death. It was the worst of all deaths that anyone can ever. Have you asked? Could you ask your neighbor, if I was to die, ask them, if I was to die, what do you recommend is the best way of dying? You know, Africans don't never like to talk about death. Africans don't talk about death. Aya, let's flip it. Tell them how you would like to die if you were to die. They're like, guys are just laughing. They're like, it's a kufi. Hakuna mtu naambia. Hakuna mali anaenda. You see, even imagining is hard. Even imagining how to exit is hard. Yet, here as believers, we are constantly, every week, preparing ourselves to go where? To heaven. To leave this place. We are all sojourners. We are all here for just our mission and get out of this place. Right? We are being prepared to go to be with our Father for life. That's our preparation here. For those of you who are building, thinking that you are eternally going to be here, I have news for you. News flash. You don't know the day. You don't know the time. You don't know the hour. So you must live like every day is your last. You must give it everything. Because you do not know. Those people you need to go and forgive quickly. Those people who wronged you, don't wrong them back. Forgive them quickly. To be able to move on in life. Because you don't know when the hour cometh, but it shall come. It shall come. We must have deadly obedience to the assignment that God gave us, every one of us. One of the things that always happens is every time God gives you an instruction, the first thing that happens is that you'll be tested on that instruction. Your obedience will be tested. I guarantee you, your obedience will be tested. There are many times in my life when my obedience was tested. Many times. Many times. Many, many times. One of the times was when I was called into ministry and told, go do this, go start this. And I was asking the Lord, are you serious about this right now? Like, I thought he was joking. Because for me, I'll tell you this. I preached 3 times in my life before I became a pastor. How many times? 3 times. Then the Lord calls you into an office and you're like, who? Me? Are you out of your mind? Yet he created me, equipped me, and sent me forth for a mission. Many of us reach a place where we constantly ask. I'll give you an example I shared with the church this morning. When I was a young man, I overstayed my visa in the U.S. And usually when you overstay your visa, there's penalties that come with it. I overstayed my visa. I traveled to Mexico, a neighboring country, and then I was denied re-entry back into the U.S. I was a young man, had driven 8 hours to go to the border to fix my status. And then I was denied entry. Think about that for a second. I was in the middle of my MBA program. And my life was uprooted. In fact, what they told me is this. You must go back to your country of origin and ask them to fix your return back to the U.S. The only thing I had when I went across the border was my slacks, a shirt, and my documents. And hope that I will come back. In fact, I was 95% sure I was going to get back. Everything was working for me when I was in the U.S. Everything. In my mind, there was no way I would not get back. There was no way. Then I was told, go back. When I went into the tour and travel agency to find out how much it will cost me to get back to Kenya, because I was told to come back to Kenya, it costed $5,000. I was a student. This was in 2004. And the reason is because I couldn't fly over the U.S. territory. I had to take a different route to end up here. Mind you, 2-3 years before that, I had come home. And one of the things that I was sure about is that I would never come back to Kenya again. I was certain. In fact, I was coming back just to verify that the thing that I thought when I first left was actually true. And I came and I said, I am never going back. And I agreed. I accepted. And I told the Lord, thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to say bye-bye to my home country. I was never coming for what? I was dating a Muzungu. Everything was working out right in my favor. Yeah. You know those people who have hair who the Lord knew I was not going to have hair. I was certain everything was working in my favor. But God. Say, but God. You know, the scripture says this, many are the plans of a man, but it is the counsel of the Lord that stands at the end. It doesn't matter what your plan is today. If you've not consulted the Lord to know what His plans are for your life, it doesn't matter. Whatever you're thinking right now, forget it. You will be in shock when the Lord arises in your life. You'll be in shock. My boss took his little 6-seater plane, flew all the way to Laredo, Texas, crossed the border into Mexico, told me, Don, get into this cab, let's go back. You say nothing, I'll speak on your behalf. I was sure that this was the path. And then the Holy Ghost told me, Don, don't do that. When I told Gary, I'm not getting into that car, he said, you're mad. He was upset with me. He's flown with his private airplane to come pick me up. And now I'm telling him I'm not going to move. Fast forward. I come back to Kenya. I go to the embassy here. They say, man, because of your overstay and what happened in Laredo, you are getting an automatic ban. For the next 10 years, you cannot go back to the U.S. A friend of mine calls me up. He says, Don, I heard what happened to you. I want you to know that there is a way. Tell your neighbor, there's always a guy. Tell them, I know a guy. The guy told me it will not cost you much, about 200,000-300,000. Remember, at this time, I'm still earning in dollars. I had all the money I needed at that time. He said, pay 300 G's. You'll be here next week. He's calling me from the States. By the way, he had already gotten a few people back to the States. And the Holy Ghost told me, that's not my perfect will for your life. My friend was so upset with me because I didn't take that opportunity. I don't know why I might be sharing this story with someone here, but I just sense there are people in here in this room right now who are about to make a decision, even in this coming week. If the thing hasn't come yet, it's about to come. Where you will have to get to the place and ask, Lord, is this your will? This is an open door. It seems like an open door. But is it God's will for your life? It seems right. But is it God right? It seems good. But good is the biggest enemy of God. When something looks so like there's nothing. In fact, it might not even be something that is wrong morally. But is it an instruction from God? Is it what God intends for your life? There's something called deadly obedience where you come to the place where you say, I'm going to sacrifice anything and everything. It doesn't matter what. That I'm going to put everything that I have in Christ's feet. That I'm going to move everything that I have seen as value, the things I have counted as much, and I'm going to give this to Him. Maybe it's your title. Maybe it's your degrees. Maybe it's the thing that makes you proud when you walk into a room, that people know that you're so and so. He says, bring it to my feet. God is calling us into a place of deadly obedience, meaning I hear it quickly and I act fast. Abraham is told, go sacrifice your son, your only son. Get up on the mountain. And he's clear, your only son, Isaac. By that time, he had two sons. He had Ishmael and he had Isaac. But God was so specific. I want that son of promise. Not the one you conjured, you, your wife, and Hagar. Your son, whom you love. God's not going to ask you for something that's not going to cost you anything. He will ask you for the thing that you hold so dear. Where you're saying, this one, God, I cannot release. That's why we come into the place where many times we find ourselves, even at the feet of Jesus, saying, and I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. But we know there's almost always something that we've never released to him. Maybe it's your relationship. Maybe it's some of the associations we have. And so we come before him and we tell him things, and all it is lip service. And you think, you know, scripture is so clear. Scripture says this, that it is only God who knows the intent of man's heart. Yet we are there, singing all these lovely songs, these songs that move us to tears. But none of those words mean anything to us when we are singing them up to the Lord. We come broken before him. We come saying, Lord, you are everything. Lord, you are good. Your mercies endure forever. We see them. We speak those songs. You know those songs. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Do we think about the words we sing? And he's saying, do not give me lip service. Mean what you say and say what you mean. Our actions must be congruent with our speech. We must come into the place where we say, Lord, we're not going to tell you what we don't mean to tell you. You are Jireh. You are enough. Jireh. You are enough. Please sing. Sing. You know these songs. And I will
be content.
In every circumstance. Really? Are you content? Jireh. You are enough. Is he really enough? Or are we always trying to add something? Keep singing.
Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. And I will be content in every circumstance.
In every circumstance. When he says that is not your spouse, you're arguing with him and saying, Father, he's tall, dark, and handsome. That's what I've been praying to you for. He has appeared. In fact, he's saying the right things. He says even he loves you, but he's saying, no, that's not for you. You're like, Jireh, you are enough. Every Sunday, coming into the sanctuary, and you're coming with praise and worship. But are we listening to what the Holy Ghost is whispering? Then there was this old song we used to sing, even in Sunday school. When we walk with the Lord
in the light of his word,
what a glory,
he sheds on our way.
While we
do his good will, he abides with us.
Lord.
Will trust and obey.
Yeah, it's not just a song. We don't just appear before him and say, Lord, I know you need a song. I'll give you more than a song. For a song in itself,
it's not what you have required. You search much deeper.
We even know the words, but we never internalize them.
Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart.
You're looking into my heart. I'm coming
back
to the heart. Let's all be upstanding. Let's do this song.
And it's all about you.
But as you're singing the words of this song, ask the Lord to recalibrate your mind and your heart right now.
I'm sorry, Lord,
for the things I made.
It's all
the heart of
it.
It's all about you.
It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Listen. There's a guy in scripture that we all read about. In Acts chapter 21, it says this, and I'll read verse 4. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. And they told Paul, the apostle, through the Spirit, not to go up to Jerusalem. When he had come to the end of those days, the 7 days, they departed and went on our way. Verse 7 says this, and when they had finished our voyage to Tyre and came to where? That place. Greeted the brethren and stayed with them one day. On the very next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to where? Caesarea. And entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. These were four prophets in one house. And this was the house of Philip. Paul was there. And then listen, God still sent another man, verse 10. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and his feet. Picture that. There were four prophets in the house. God sent a fifth called Agabus. Came and pulled Paul's belt off of him. Bound his hands and his feet. And told him this. Thus says the Holy Spirit. So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Verse 12, now when we heard these things, both we and those from the place pleaded with him. Pleaded with who? Paul, the apostle. Pleaded with him not to do what? Not to go up to Jerusalem. But listen to Paul in verse 13. It says this, then Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 14. So when we would not be persuaded, when he would not be persuaded. This is the other guy saying, now because we cannot persuade you not to go to Jerusalem. Now because we have tried. There was another prophet in verse 4 who spoke to you not to go to Jerusalem. Here is another one who God sent to come and tell you not to go, or what would happen. This is what he said. We ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. I want you to know this. There are people in here today, under the hearing of my voice. There are people who have come because they love you and they give you counsel, but it's not God's counsel for your life. Sometimes what we are fighting today is those people who are so close to us, who love us, and they tell us what they believe is good, genuinely believe is good for our lives. But I want to ask you, what is the mission that God sent you for? What is the purpose that God called you to? Where is the place that you must find yourself? Where will you come into a place of saying, Lord, I know what my friend so-and-so has said. I know what my brother so-and-so has said. I know, in fact, you're the one who sent the prophet to bind my hands and my feet to tell me what is going to happen to me. But Lord, you had already shown me that that is my purpose. There are people here under the hearing of my voice. You're struggling with your purpose because of some of the advice you have received. The question is, what has the Lord told you explicitly that you must do? That comes over anything anybody else would tell you. Do not shut the sound or the voice of God. Part of the problems we're having in our generation today is that there's too much noise around us. We are hearing too much. We live in a noisy generation. And the enemy has released noise our way. Noise in the form of Instagram. Noise in the form of seeing your friends smiling on Facebook. Noise in the form of pornography and whatever else you can find on the internet. Noise everywhere. Noise. Because his purpose is to keep you so busy hearing other sounds that you miss hearing the still small voice of Yahweh. Yet even today, he's speaking. Yet even today, yet even here, the Lord is speaking. As I conclude, there are people asking the Lord for a recalibration right now. They are not many. People who are on the brink of making a decision that is good, but it's not godly. People who are needing to realign their lives and to understand that the focus of your life and the purpose of your life is not your comfort. God doesn't care about your comfort. He cares about your obedience. How comfortable you live has nothing to do with God's will for your life. It's great to have money. Get it. If it is a part of your purpose. For those 2-3 people, I want to pray for you. Because the grace is available right now. I want you to step out of the aisle. And there are 2 categories of people. There's also someone in here who is saying, man, I know the beginning of this thing is for me to have a relationship with Christ. If you believe that it is you and today is your day, step out and come and say, I want to have a relationship with this God that you're professing. Step out of the crowd and say, you know what? Kama nimbaya, nimbaya. But it cannot be bad wherever God is. It doesn't matter what your friends will say. Ati umeokoka, nobody cares. God is saying, I am calling you out. And you're that James Bond that I am raising for this generation to deliver my people into the place that is called the Promised Land. 3 ladies in this place about to make the wrong decision. Step up. Step out now.
Thank you for sticking into the end. We hope you are blessed by this message. Follow us for more of these messages when new episodes drop, and make sure to rate us so that more people can find out about us. Bye-bye.